This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
Hey, Commodores, this is Abby, and welcome back to the Q&A with the Dean. Hey, Dean Grisolfi, how are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, thanks. You know, you might be able to tell on the podcast, my voice is not what it usually is. Hopefully it doesn't sound that bad on recording, but I did attend the protest that we just had. Did you hear a lot about that before it happened or after it happened? Did your students like to talk about it with you?
You know, I've heard a lot about it. I mean, there's been so many protests
this
week. I actually have heard more about it through through my collaborations with teachers than I actually have from my current students, because actually Metro Nashville had already planned an in-service day on Friday. They, you know, that was always on the calendar, and they actually released the teachers for the protest on Friday. The original rationale was about the protest against guns in schools,
right?
But then obviously Friday became about a lot more than only guns in schools. So, you know, a lot of faculty in teaching and learning, because we work so closely with teachers, were there. And of course, a lot of teachers I work with were there.
How does it feel like as a professor, if kids come up to you and say, I will be walking out of your class on this day? Does it, because if I was in that position, I would not really know how to respond to that, you know, just trying to keep doing my job, or should I? It's a tough position.
Anytime a student needs to miss class, actually, it's a tough position. Sometimes it's not very hard, right? You're sick, or you're celebrating a religion, like, you know, that's not hard. But, you know, undergraduate students are adults, basically, right? And so you need to make your own choices about things. So, and different professors can do what they want, basically, beyond these like specific rules about what counts as excused absences. So I'm not teaching this semester, so I didn't have to make this decision. But for me, if someone said, well, actually, if I were teaching on a day, like especially on Tuesday with the student walkout, I would have said to my class, like, what's the plan? Like, do you all want to walk out? Because for me, I don't mind if I don't like when students miss my class.
Right, of course.
But I don't mind if students miss class as long as I know in advance. And so, like, for the walkout, I would have, like, if I wasn't able to go to the walkout on Tuesday because I had a meeting that I couldn't miss, but if I had had a class at that time, I would have said, like, perhaps we should all go.
Oh, right? Nice.
And so, but sometimes students need to miss for a protest that I wouldn't necessarily want to participate in. So largely I would say, go for it.
Nice. You know,
the only thing for me is that, like I said, like I like to know in advance because you take a lot of time to plan for a class, like a lot of time.
Yeah, and so, that's what I was thinking.
So if, you know, 2/3 of your class is missing, then you're in a real bind, right?
Yeah.
And that's very frustrating because it's a waste of your time.
Exactly.
And then the other piece is like, a lot of the time I'm fine if people miss class, but it's not my job to get you caught up with the class work that you missed. Like that needs to be the part of the responsibility that you take for having missed. So those are just logistical concerns. But personally, I feel that protest is one of our rights and one of our obligations. And so if for me, that counts as an excused absence.
Nice. And I think also part of, you know, getting up and going to the protests should be something like, I care about this cause so much that I'm willing to miss this lecture or something. Because I heard some students saying that, you know, all classes need to be canceled. I'm like, well, that kind of defeats the point of a walkout, I guess, because it says like you know, you value this cost so much that you're willing to bear the costs of missing that class for today or whatever. So, yeah, it was interesting to hear your take on it. And then also just with the protests going on, do you think that like, I don't know, do you think it's a good idea for students like us to participate whenever it's getting like super close to finals? Like, because I know there's a lot more coming up and I feel like a lot of us are a little bit conflicted. That's like, okay, I've been to like 2 protests already. Like, when do I, you know, when do I start balancing it out, I guess? Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it completely makes sense. And, you know, this is one of the many ways that college is the beginning of adulthood, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, everyone who was at that protest who was not a retired person had to make that decision, yeah. right? It was like, what am I missing to be here? And, you know, for some people, so for me, I almost never attend protests mm-hmm. because it doesn't fill my bucket, right? Yeah. It mostly just makes me feel more furious.
Yeah.
And it's not that I don't think that people should protest. I'm just saying for myself, when I think about, well, what is my action when right. I'm upset about something? For me, and this also has to do with not being a student and being a fully employed person, like for me, I would rather give money to an organization. Mm-hmm. And that's how I tend to handle it. But partly that is because I have 7 jobs, right?
Exactly.
And so for me, like, what am I going to miss and how will it get made up? And what is, and I think about like, well, how will it make me feel to participate in the protest? And what is the impact of that? You know, there's this huge balance. So there really isn't an answer about this. So there is a student who I've known since he was a first year student. He's a junior now. And I have seen him in so many pictures at this protest. And I have so much admiration for his diligence in being down there. And I have wondered, like, I wonder what's happening with his classes. Like, I hope he's okay. But the reality is, you know, some classes do have pretty strict attendance policies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know if people, like, would it lead to failing the class if you go to the protest? That might be something to think about.
Right.
But ultimately, all these kinds of things are balance questions. Like, what are the pros and what are the cons? And so, if you are starting to feel that your personal, like, mental health is suffering, either because you are going to too many protests or because you're not going to enough protests, right? Like, and that's different for different people. That's important to listen to. And I do think when you've gone through enough of these terrible events in life, you can see there's a cycle to them.
Right.
And so the other thing that you get better at noticing is like, how is this helping me versus how is this help and how, not versus, and how is this helping the issue?
Yeah.
And that becomes part of the balance. And at first, sometimes if you haven't participated in a lot of protests, you don't know the answer to that yet, you know? Yeah.
That's really insightful. I appreciate that. Because this was my first protest that I've been to since coming to Nashville. So I thought it was really impactful. But I do, like, feel what you're saying when it's like, it gets me riled up, because I kind of felt that too. And I haven't really felt that here before. And I also want to point out that, like, something that we heard at the protest was that it comes from such a place of privilege to be able to attend all of these protests, because you have Americans that can't take off work. You have people raising their kids who are living paycheck to paycheck. And it's from a place of privilege that we can even go to any of these protests. So just recognizing that, I think, is also really important when thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, no, I think that's a really important point.
And I think that, like, you know, no one should feel bad for not being able to, you know, if you're going to fail a class or if you just can't afford to take off work, something like that. So, yeah, thank you so much for that insightful answer. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Q&A with the Dean. And thank you so much for joining us today, Dean Grisalvi.
It's always a pleasure.
And if you have any questions that you would like to ask, you can turn it into mycommons.life. This is Abby signing off.
Hey Doors, I'm Daniela Aguilar, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I fill you in on upcoming events at Vanderbilt. First up, the weekend of April the 14th, you can have a fun time with friends at the Witch's Kitchen, which is an escape room open to students, faculty, and staff. It is designed and operated by the Themed Entertainment Association at Vanderbilt. You must reserve a time slot on Calendly and purchase a ticket for your group through TicketWeb. Next up, on Friday the 14th, from 8 to 10 p.m., you can join East, Gillette, North, and West Houses for the Knights of Spring Mix-Up. There will be goat cuddling, a caricature artist, food, crafts, and so much more. You don't want to miss it. You're invited to join residential colleges for the final celebration of the 2022 through 2023 year. You can enjoy inflatables, caricature artists, carnival food, live music, and a special menu in the dining hall, which requires a meal swipe. But most exciting of all, the Commons Cup winner will be announced. I hope to see you there on Sunday the 16th. Lastly, the Vanderbilt University Concert Choir will hold its spring concert on April 17th at 7 p.m. in Benton Chapel. Selections will range from Mozart's Ave Verum Corpus to Toto's Africa. Light beverages will be provided at a reception following the concert. It will be a great evening full of talent. That brings us to the end of this week's Commons Calendar. There's always something fun to do when you're at Vanderbilt. Thank you for listening. Now, onto the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, I'm Igan Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Humans of the Commons interview. My guest is Pranjal Singh, a first-year student from Midland, Michigan, majoring in economics and computer science with a minor in Spanish. She also lives in Hank Ingram House. Pranjal, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much, Igan. It's so nice to be here with you today.
Totally. I know you're taking time out of your very busy day to come talk to me, so I really appreciate it. So what were you preparing for again tonight?
So tonight is the Agni Showcase, which is the Indian classical dance group on campus that just recently started. So I will be performing in that later, and I'm going to go to the dressing rooms and get ready right after this.
Oh my gosh, what's the vibe? Can you give us like a sneak peek or like a little something something?
I don't know how I'd do that because it's a dance, but you can show up tonight at 6:45 to see us perform.
This podcast really is coming out tomorrow. But you can read the review about it. I'm pretty sure The Hustler is like covering it in some capacity. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little about your background. So I asked you before the interview and you said that you went to like a boarding school before you went to Vanderbilt. And I know for most of us, we went to like public or private school, but it was always like we can come home, blah, blah, blah. But you were already immersed in that kind of living and learning, kind of blurring those two worlds together. So how does your experience so far dorming here compare to what you've experienced before?
I would say that in high school we had kind of a more supervised living situation where we had a dorm mom and we had a counselor who would live on the floor. And as time went on and COVID started, the rules kind of got a lot stricter. So a fun fact is we actually had to turn in our phones at 10:45 p.m. every night.
Oh my gosh.
Very military school, I know. And you know, there was lights out after a certain time. If you were out after that, you'd kind of get an after taps violation. Of course, I don't mean this in a negative way at all. Yeah. I'm just saying it was a lot of freedom to get used to, dorming here, but I would say it's a great experience because, I kind of got through the messy and the good and bad of learning how to be a good roommate in high school. And then it was pretty easy for me to acclimate to it in college. Also, the dorms and facilities, especially in Hank, are literally amazing. All the furniture is really new, really clean, and the windows are beautiful. We have a lot of natural light in our room, and I have a really spacious and nice room. So I would say that's really nice, and the proximity to Commons and the Commons gym and, you know, green fields outside to relax on. It's really nice.
Do you work out at the Commons gym?
Sometimes.
I judge you for that. No, I would rather walk to the rec.
No, I go to the rec. Okay. I thought you said you were judging me for not working out.
No, working out at Commons gym because it's kind of...
Just because I can bike there.
Okay.
But I would say it's convenient still to have it so close by.
Talk about that, bike girl.
Okay, bike. Let's talk about bikes.
Let's talk about bikes and scooters maybe.
Honestly, I would love to talk about this.
Bike is just scooters on steroids. Like everyone hates you when you're like... zooming past and like about to hit us.
I bet they do. But I hate them too. Okay. I'm just kidding. There's just certain people who make me scared to hit them. That is all. It's just like for
who?
Both of our sakes, let's both move. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to hurt anyone. I feel like bikes are classic. They're timeless. They're an aesthetic. My bike is pretty old. It's not that cute, but I was going to get a really cute one.
With a basket and like a bell.
Okay, maybe not like that, but that's an aesthetic as well.
Yeah.
I feel like it shows your personality more than like a scooter.
For sure.
And I feel like it's just more like, you know, like, oops, I got too far from the mic. you know, it's just like more of a vibe. Like it gives me Amsterdam vibes.
Okay.
So, I don't know. I got a bike just like recently in like second semester, like a couple weeks back, like maybe before spring break.
Yeah.
And I would say it's a life changer and I recommend it to anyone. Although the infrastructure for biking is very, you know, I would say it's very difficult. My bike is not that efficient. So there's a lot of uphill and downhill actually going on, especially once you leave campus, you will be fighting for your life. And you need to get a very efficient bike, like maybe with some gears.
At least you know you're never going to skip leg day.
Oh yeah, I'm never skipping leg day ever. Mm-hmm. Once I tried to bike after leg day, and that was quite an experience. But
that was
a choice. You go, yeah, that was definitely a choice. And then if you go like to cross the street to the hospital, you have to like carry it down the stairs.
Oh God.
But no, I would say that despite it's kind of hard when like you know there's a bunch of people and I feel like kind of. Like I'm an inconvenience to everyone around me, but when there's nobody around, like it's you can so literally efficient. Get from like your like Hank to like EBI or Roth in like 5 or 6 minutes.
That's and that's so nice.
A game changer. Cause you know, I feel like I'm not very punctual. Sometimes I get late cause I don't estimate how long it's going to take. And it's UNCS really nice this morning. To have a bike. Okay. Look, I decided to cook cause I was hungry.
Oh, last night?
No, this morning. A munchie meal. Very generous to say the word cook.
Okay.
I meant heat up.
You know? Mac and cheese or what?
No, it was the egg thing. I'd never tried that before.
The egg thing?
Yeah.
What egg thing?
The egg scramble thing that I got last night. But yeah, no, it made me not hungry. So okay, that was nice. Good. If not for that, I would have been there. And somehow I left literally like 2 minutes before class started and I made it there only 3 minutes late. So
wait, that's kind of a sleigh.
Yeah, that's really a sleigh. And there was a ton of people in the way too.
No, I was walking to class and I was like, there's too many tour groups. Like,
yeah,
I'm seeing so much more people on the bridge. I'm like, no way.
Love you guys, but also don't love you guys.
Yeah.
Because you have no awareness of your surroundings.
Yeah. Did
Not
you take
that
the
they should be aware of me. No, because I didn't want to carry my bike down the stairs. Oh. And there was nobody when I was coming. Because it was later than when you left. Everyone was gone for the
Everyone's
most part.
Everyone's already in class.
Yeah. Yeah, as they should be. But
speaking of like transitioning from commons to main campus, I know you're going to be studying abroad next semester. So you won't have to deal with like all the housing drama and stuff. And you were talking about how like talk a little bit about your experience with like the Global Education Office and like I know you're a very much like global citizen. I can't say the word on the white shirt that we had the other night, but global citizen because you've been traveling all over Europe. Question
Correct.
Mark. So can you talk a little bit about Vandy's resources when it comes to studying abroad, foreign languages, stuff like that?
Okay. So my experience with the Global Education Office started maybe in mid-February, and I would say they've been so extremely helpful. There was one study abroad program I was applying to. It was a long shot, but like, you know, pretty much the day before it was due, just because I didn't think I was eligible for that type of thing, but apparently I was. But they were really, really helpful about it, and they helped me with the deadlines, and, you know, it wasn't an inconvenience for either of us. It was really nice. And then when I finally decided on my program before I'd committed, I had a bunch of meetings with a global education advisor, and they can tell you a lot about the program. People who have went there in the past, you can connect with what's it called, residential advisor that you'll have there. And there's a lot of support Vandy provides because, I mean, I traveled outside of an official program before college, and I noticed a lot of programs, like organized programs that you can do, you know, for traveling are like, you must be a college student. You must be affiliated with this university. And I remember feeling pretty left out because I wasn't a college student yet. But now getting to have those privileges, it really makes me feel grateful that Vanderbilt has that opportunity because, you know, they make sure you get health insurance. They make sure you're safe. They know where you are. They apply financial aid to the program. So you're going to be able to afford the programs as well as you can afford Vanderbilt, which I love.
Yeah.
So that's really, really nice. And I think they have sessions called Overview if any of you listening want to like get an intro to study abroad. And I'm sure if you're taking a foreign language class, there's people who come by and talk about it. So don't be afraid to reach out to global education advisors and come meet with them and ask them questions, email them, because it can be difficult to do on your own without guidance. So it's really helpful to do that.
Also, I know you're taking both French and Spanish right now, but you've also traveled all over. So I just want to ask, how many languages can you speak?
Okay, Igan. Well, that's a pretty, pretty silly question. I love that.
I want a silly answer.
Okay, I'll give you a silly answer. I'll just give you kind of my background because I don't know if I can say I speak this or I don't speak this. But I would say that so in middle school, I started learning German. I would say that I'm not the greatest at German, but like, you know, there was a little bit where I was like kind of immersed in it where I had like, you know, 6 or 7 German friends who they'd only be talking in German, and it's like it comes out of me, it's buried deep down, but I think that I'm like focusing more on the romance languages right now just because they like kind of interact with each other in a way that makes it easier for me to be learning them right now.
Is German not a romance language?
No, it's like a no. Most Germanic. Not. It's a Germanic language.
That's my bad.
It's a different language family. But no. Like, I get you. I get what you mean. So it's like more similar in English in some ways and less similar to like Spanish, French, Italian, Portuguese, whatever. I took Spanish in high school and I literally was so reluctant to take a foreign language because I think you are also a speaker of a second language, right?
Like I natively. Speak three fluently and then two I'm still learning. But
so was English your first language?
English and Tagalog I learned jointly growing up.
Yeah, so I have that same type of experience. So I kind of felt like taking a foreign language wasn't necessary and that I wanted to focus on like more, you know, different academic subjects and like, you know, math, science, whatever.
Because you can just be better at what you already know instead of like venturing outside. Yeah.
I didn't feel like starting a new thing. And when I started doing it, I literally like fell in love with it. I was obsessed with it.
As you said.
And so, yeah. And then I like continued Spanish in high school. I took Spanish here. But then when I went to France, I was like, it was really cool being... It's really cool being in a country where I like literally did not speak like an ounce of French because like I guess I like never had an interest or I never like felt like starting. I was like, no. But then like suddenly, like, I don't know, my like boyfriend at the time lived in Paris and like I feel like I had a lot of positive associations with being there and with his family having a history of living in France and stuff like that. And so, like, I don't know, I just felt inspired to learn. So I decided to take it. I was having trouble deciding between taking Italian and French because I had studied Italian a lot before I went on my trip. But I decided with French and I'm really glad I did because I'm like really interested in going to like Francophone Africa.
Yeah.
And specifics, don't even ask. I'm not sure yet. Yeah. But like, I just feel like with Spanish and French, like between South America, Africa, Europe, there's like a lot of places you can go and be able to communicate and make people more comfortable by speaking in their language rather than, you know, expecting others to conform to what you are used to, as in like English. So
for sure,
I've only gotten the chance to travel to Europe so far just because that was what was most affordable to me and most safe for me.
Understandable.
But that does not mean that I like have a Eurocentric perspective on travel because, you know, I'm from India. I've been to India a bunch of times. I've been to China and I love those places, but those plane tickets are like expensive. In the thousands. So
you should have done that that class that you wanted with like the Indian, like 1 hour per week, but it counted as 3 hours when they took a spring break trip to India that Vandy paid for, I'm pretty sure.
That sounds really cool.
I think they're doing it again next year.
That's cool. But I feel like when I go, I'm going to end up going with my family for like 2 months, like how we usually do.
Yeah.
I was even thinking maybe this summer, but you know, things are getting busy. Like
things are getting busy.
Like, you know, internships, whatnot, summer jobs. I'm going to be working. So,
as you should.
Yeah. I'm going to earn some money to spend during study abroad.
No, as you should.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's bring it back to commons because this is my commons life. Oopsie. I know you've had, no, you're so fine. Everyone would love to hear your perspective. I was just wondering like, coming from such a perspective where you're exposed to so much, right? Like, I get this too, because I'm kind of torn between cultures, like the whole gap year thing, like kind of trying to reconcile all these different parts of your identity and stuff like that. It's kind of like a crazy way to think about yourself and view yourself in the context of new social situations, like when we moved into Vandy. So I was just thinking, like, I don't know, like highlights of your experience or like, just like what have you experience in commons that you've appreciated with the context of your background?
Okay. Well, would you say like highlights of like, you know, commons like in general, or would you say like highlights of just like moving in, like starting to get adjusted? It. Okay. Okay. So, I would say that moving into commons, I'd say was like really nice because it was kind of like, you know, my high school orientation process, in a certain way, because we also had like different dorms with different colors that were kind of like the equivalent of the houses here.
Yeah.
And it had that like school spirity feeling where you like have house spirit and you have like a dorm and you're close with people in your dorm. The only difference was that it was like co-ed and, you know, there was a lot less rules and stuff like that. But I think it was a really cool environment. But I feel like I felt like I and a lot of other people were like treading on the line of like, are we children? Are we adults type thing? Like, cause I feel like it was a milestone in growing up, even though I had been like a working professional for like several months during my gap year, and I had traveled a bit like, you know, on my own, and I had felt like I had to be an adult there. But I like kind of felt like, you know, when you're a freshman, you're babied to some extent. Not babied, yeah. But like people
Everyone
really care
down
about
on
you.
So you kind of take on that role. You
when
know?
He says people look down on you, and I said people care about you.
No, but it's the same. It's like it's both at the same time. Yeah.
That people at the same time are like, you know, it's I can't tell you how many times I've heard, oh, you're a freshman. Like in Literally. The most like in the derogatory. Most derogatory tone. They're like, oh, but you're a freshman. And it can Literally. Be on like, you can like confide in somebody about, oh, this is like bothering me. Oh, you're just a freshman.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, for one, like we took a gap year, so we're older
yeah,
than freshmen.
Literally, we both took a gap year, guys.
It's just weird Crazy. Because it's like you go through high school and you're a senior at the end of it. So you're yeah. like a senior and you're like have all this status. And then maybe you take some time off, you do this and that, whatever.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like a freshman, you're like a little kid. And it's yeah. crazy because like I think of us all as like little kids because it's like a fresh start for us. But like I've been meeting some people on Commons and I've met a lot of freshmen who like have like a whole like life with like crazy experiences that I like wouldn't expect out of someone our age. I'm like, wow. Like, you yeah. know, and you know, there's like a whole range of experiences that people have had in high school. Some that have made them like grow up like very quickly and maybe yeah. some that have had like more privileges to be like a child longer and different experiences with family, with school and all of that. With my friends, like a lot of people have gone to like a huge magnet high school. Mm-hmm. Some people have gone to smaller schools with a really small class size. Like we all had different experiences of education before this and yeah. we're all starting off at different points. And I would say definitely I feel the privilege of coming from a school that was in a residential situation, kind of like Vanderbilt is, because at least that makes one less factor for me to get yeah. used to. There are definitely other factors that were harder for me than they would have been for maybe other people. But that's the one that I at least can, you know.
Yeah, look, reflect on.
Yeah.
So that brings us to the end of our interview. Thank you so much, Prandra, for joining me. And everyone, this has been the Humans of the Commons interview with your host, Eigen. Till next time.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts or via your favorite podcast app.